You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, this is Frida Liu, and this is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Andreas Dorn, NLP trainer, and we're talking about identifying the drivers of employee engagement and just exactly what exactly is employee engagement and how would you define it?
Okay. In preparing for this session, I looked around and I found that actually a global study suggests that there are three basic aspects of employee engagement. First of all, the employees and their own unique psychological makeup and experience. Secondly, the employers, the organization, and their ability to create the conditions that promote employee engagement. And of course, interaction between employees across all levels. But to me, engagement is the combination of the inner motivation of the employees for the work they do and their emotional commitment to the organization. But the point is that we need to understand that every individual gets engaged at a different level differently, and they maintain their engagement differently as well. So if an organization tries to put a general engagement program in place, this would be like trying to put a square peg into a round hole. It will work for some, but others will either leave or react more cynical.
Now, everyone talks about employee engagement, and it's always a hot topic. So why is it important?
According to a report by the Conference Board from the U.S., which is a very prestigious organization in the U.S., employee engagement is a very, very big deal today. There's growing evidence that high levels of employee engagement clearly correlates to individual, group, and corporate performance in areas such as retention, turnover, productivity, customer service, and loyalty. And not just by a small margin. While differences may vary from study to study, highly engaged employees outperform their disengaged counterparts by actually a whopping 20 to 28 percent point.
And I'm just wondering whether you can see if someone is engaged or disengaged just by their physical makeup, but I guess not. And what is the current status of employee engagement in Malaysia?
Allow me to give you some indication about this one as well. The numbers that I'm going to quote are from an employee survey before the current recession, because I actually believe something has changed. And this survey was covering more than 3,000 employees that were classified as top talent in 120 companies across the Asian region, and found that many talent and employees are either disillusioned or disengaged. So however you define it, most of us know that top talent actually is important and very, very expensive to replace. And although disillusioned employees continue to put extra effort to help their company achieve its goals, they're unlikely to stay with the company in the long term. Many are ready to leave. They're unlikely to support the organization's strategy, feel a sense of pride in their work, and or work hard to ensure that the organization becomes successful. So it's quite a dramatic number. For Malaysia, the number stands at 69% of disengaged employees.
And so this was done
before the recession,
the economic situation. Wow. So 69%. So what actually are the key drivers of employee engagement?
There are many different drivers actually for employee engagement. And in preparing for this interview, I came again, mentioned the conference board, and they mentioned 8 key drivers for employee engagement that were generally mentioned in many employee engagement studies. First of all, the trust and integrity. So how well do managers communicate or walk the talk? The relationship with one's managers, the second point. The nature of the job, is it somewhat mentally stimulating or just routine? Does the employee understand how their work contributes to the company's performance? Career growth and growth opportunities. Pride. Do the employee feel a sense of pride for the organization? Co-workers and team members. So how do they influence each other? And the employee development. Is the company actually making an effort to develop the employee's skills? Now, the main weakness of these drivers is that they do not clearly identify what the how-to behind them. So let's take a point of relationship with a manager as an example. It's simply a very, very general concept. What actually is relationship? How does the employee wants to be related to? Is it through SMS, face-to-face meetings? How often shall this occur? At which level? So what I want to say is, a manager might try his best to relate to and engage the employee according to his understanding. However, the employee might have totally different understandings and requirements, and it is here where misunderstanding occurs. It's like two worlds colliding, two mental patterns colliding, but both are trying the best they can, but it simply does not work out.
Okay, I'm going to ask you an example of two worlds colliding in a while, but when it comes to employee development as well, some organizations say that, you know, we have virtual learning, online learning, you can go and try to find out what's suitable for you. Sometimes, you know, there is that disengagement in that process again. So what do you, you know, what usually happens in this case?
Sadly enough, yes, it's very often that the HR director decides, so to speak, let's have this kind of training program. And then the HR director decides, Mr. A goes, Mr. B goes, Ms. C goes, and they are just sending them to training programs. Now, the employee then is sent to a training program, but the training program might not really fit with their needs, with their performance. And then they are sitting in the training program and not actually bringing something back to the workplace. So they're actually getting more and more disengaged then as well, because how... it's not driving them, it's not their passion that they're bringing into the training then.
Okay, early on you spoke about two worlds colliding. Can you give an example of this?
Sure. A study was conducted by Roger Bailey on the assessment tool, the language and behavior profile. And they found actually that about 40% of people are engaged by moving towards goals. They want achievements and rewards. Now let's give an example of an employee who thinks like this. And his manager, his leader might be somebody who is more motivated by moving away from problems, noticing what should be avoided or getting rid of, or recognize the things that need to be prevented. About 40% of the people are motivated by this. So it's kind of opposing way in how they're getting engaged. So one gets motivated by focusing on problems, the other on focusing on goals. And based on his worldview, the leader then comes to the employee and constantly talks about problems and issues that needs to be prevented when delegating tasks. He might say there are problems here or challenges there. Our employee, on the other hand, cherishes goals and achievements, and he will get demotivated over time. He talks a different language and thinks differently. So both their neurons, so to speak, simply don't compute with each other. But you have to think, every employee starts off as an engaged employee when they're joining the organization. But over time, he or she lost his inner drive to perform well to this kind of miscommunication. So the manager would need to learn to reignite the passion of the employee by triggering their motivation.
So employee engagement declines over time?
Not always, of course, but sadly enough, often in time, yes, it declines over time. But you have to understand, no employee is actually getting up in the morning and says, hey, today is a good day to mess up the organization. But what happens basically is that an employee, a high performer, goes to become a low performer over time. And the first day of work, they come to work full of energy. They're ready for anything. In their minds, they're saying, hey, I succeeded. I'm getting hired by this great organization. I have been selected over so and so many applicants, and I really want to contribute here. But then what happens? A moment of truth. Maybe the business cards have not been prepared, and I heard such examples. Maybe the desk is not ready and they have to wait somewhere for a long time. And over time, this might accumulate. So maybe their ideas are not constantly challenged or rejected. Colleagues do not take much of a liking to them. The boss does not appreciate their work. And over time, the engagement level just simply dies away. They don't have the passion anymore.
I'm speaking to Andres Dawn, NLP trainer, and this is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back. This is Frida Liu and is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Andres Dawn, NLP trainer, and we're talking about identifying the drivers of employee engagement. So what could an organization manager do to engage their employees?
As hard as it sounds, an organization actually needs to identify the traits that trigger motivation in an employee and how they keep their motivation upright. If they don't, employee engagement will drop over time. So these different traits are based on how the employee sees the world, challenges and excitement, how they relate to others, how they actually become a high performer. And it's derived from their beliefs, their values, their experience, their mental filters, and how they look and operate in this world. So traditional thinking about employee engagement sees employees as something that needs to adjust to the organization, but maybe we should think differently about it. How would it be if we adjust the organization to the high performer and really create an environment in which they thrive? Now let's take an example of an open space concept, which is becoming more and more common nowadays. But do employees really like to have open space? Well, a study on the language and behavior profile actually found that up to 20% of employees prefer to work alone, at least most of their time. These are the ones that might actually come to work early in the morning time or stay back late to work on projects or have the space to read. If they are sitting with too many other people around, they freak out. I had a conversation with the CEO the other day of a company, and he said he had an employee who started off as a high performer. But over time, and sadly enough, very fast, he deteriorated and was actually getting close to getting fired again. After consulting him and talking to him and giving him some of the tools, he realized that the employee needed the space to perform, and simply then the CEO asked to simply remove the table slightly from the crowd, from the rest of the employees. And interestingly enough, the employee actually started to accelerate and exceed performance level that were expected of him. So it's about realizing the triggers for motivation of the individual employee and how can they maintain their motivation over time.
So you're saying that it's possible to identify the traits that keep an employee engaged?
Yes, it's possible to identify the motivation trait that keep an employee engaged and how the environment should look like to keep the engagement level actually high. And in fact, there are 6 traits that show how different people trigger their motivation and 8 categories that reveal the type of tasks and environment needed to maintain engagement. For example, are employees driven by problems or goals? I indicated this earlier. The way how employees respond to feedback is different. How much change can you expose somebody to? Do they prefer to conduct the same job over and over and over again, or do they prefer constant and ongoing change? How do they communicate with each other? Are they want to be a team leader or just simply a team player? Do they prefer to work in alone or in teams? What's the level of their stress potential and how long do they want to stay with an organization actually?
And so how important is employee engagement in the current situation?
Very important, very important. And especially because of the crisis situation, a company needs to rally all its employees actually to be focused on tasks. But I see a change in the way organizations and employees actually cope with the current situation. There was Tom Peters. Remember Tom Peters, the American management guru? A few years ago, he said, he proclaimed that in order to succeed, somebody needs to fail forward fast. But I believe, actually, and I saw it in many of my programs, that this has changed as a result of the crisis. Before the crisis, there was talk and activity about innovation, creativity, empowerment, and taking changes. Now, this has changed. Employees' behaviors move from the concept of proactivity and innovative risk-taking to more risk-averse and reactive way of working. Instead of developing ideas and sticking their head out from the crowd, they simply duck down and hope the wind would blow over that nobody sees them. It's kind of fear that's happening right now. They are having fear to speak up loudly. And even organizations start moving from internal relationship building and creating an environment, a personal environment, to more task orientation. Today it's more important to getting the job done. And there's nothing wrong or right with this one, but it's about understanding how the employees trigger their motivation and what needs to be done to help them stay engaged.
All right. How about leadership? How does that relate to employee engagement?
Leadership is extremely crucial. It's important to employee engagement. But here, with leadership, you also got to take into account the direct leadership or supervisor as well as top management. Because you probably know the saying that people join organizations but leave managers. Employees always look at their bosses for cues about behavior, engagement, and prevailing emotions. If the boss is not able to leave the negative emotion at the doorsteps of the organization when he comes to work, he or she will influence the employees in the surrounding. It doesn't need to have anything to do with the employee's performance. Imagine a blank look given by the boss, an averted gaze, or a dismissive shrug. These are non-verbal cues that send out that might make any employee shudder, actually. It could be also a hand gesture interpreted wrongly. And you see, it's not so much about what the employee leader says but that matters, but how the employee perceives it and receives it. The message that we send to 2 different employees differs as it's influenced by the way we feel about the employees. If we like the person, we have a different body language. And let me tell you a story about an HR director. She had a big crowd, a big team to work with. But she was the team that she worked with never knew exactly how their day would be like before she arrived at work. So she arrived at work, and if she had a great day, great morning, her team had a fantastic day. But if she had a bad day, when she woke up on the wrong side of the bed, the receptionist called the teams and said she's in a bad mood, and their day was like hell. So she didn't survive very long, but it's really like they were looking of how to perform according to the mood of the HR director, which is traumatic.
Okay, but can you actually leave out your emotions upon, you know, whatever happened the day? Can you actually separate it from when you arrive from work? Is it really possible?
It is possible to manage emotions. If you are aware of how the employees react to you, if you are giving even the message to some of them when you arrive at work and say, hey, I really had a bad traffic jam. My mood is currently totally down. Has nothing to do with you. It's just me right now. Give me a moment or two to really settle down and calm down again. And that sends a strong message to employees already.
All right. And is there a relation between high performance and employee engagement?
Of course there is. But again, you will be surprised, it often depends on how the employee is treated on the first day at work. And we all know the saying that first impressions count, but it's also in the organization. And how important is it really? Well, first impression research has found are undeletable. They last, and that's a stage for productivity in every relationship in the organization. As a leader, how someone sets the stage of a new employee's first day directly influences the productivity and success of that individual and his or her contribution to the team over the long term. So I say that the way your organization performs today is in direct relationship to how your employees perceived the manager's treatment maybe a year ago. This treatment forms the basis of how the employee thinks about your organization now.
All right. So what can a manager or leader do straight away in order to increase engagement level of the employees?
We need to understand, I have to repeat this, that employee engagement is not necessarily something that can be increased from today to tomorrow. There's a process involved that needs time. But in order to do at least get a different perspective, a leader could ask do the following. So the engagement level does not necessarily drop from today to tomorrow. So the question is, what happened? If you have an employee whose performance is no longer up to date, ask yourself, when was the last time you had a long conversation with that employee? Do you just ignore him, or you have a daily or weekly conversation with him? Do you know what's important to the employee? Do you know his values, his dreams, his goals, his beliefs? What keeps him busy at night? What happened around the time when the performance dropped? What is it that the employee really wants in the organization? Secondly, also, understand that no employee wants to mess up the organization. We are quick to judge other people. But let's assume that everybody is doing the best they can with the resources available to them. So ask yourself, what is something that the employee needs right now to succeed again? And also ask yourself, is the environment conducive for the employee? We all operate and perform differently. So in our minds, perceive things differently. So what is that needs to be changed in his surrounding to increase performance? What needs to be more of or less of, or should remain? So, and maybe even look for, if it's a high performer and you want to bring them up again, look for a coach for the individual. It's a very common thing nowadays.
All right. So, and of course, if people need to get more information, they can go to your website.
They could go to my website at www.asiamindsdynamics.com.
All right.
Or at my blog at alwayswow.com.
Always wow.
Always wow.
This is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9. I've been speaking to Andres Dorn, NLP trainer.
BFM 89.9, the business station.